This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that leads today's show are as follows. 9/11. Remembrances. Tesla and Irma. A weird combination. Equifax and a chatbot to the rescue for 144 million people. And we're going to talk about custom Nikes. Yes, Nike as in tennis shoes, Nikes. Plus, of course, all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1225 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, September 11th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. And listeners just like you, great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support this show today, excuse me, at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider or simply PayPal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the brand new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking this show out for the very first time. We want you to take time to visit Geek News Central. And when you do so, when you're over on the website, it's real simple. Just get subscribed to the show. And if I can get the positioning right here, all you have to do is click on Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, Google Play, Stitcher, via TuneIn, or just subscribe to the standard RSS feed. Of course, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, just click on the More Subscribe Options. That's going to take you to a page that's going to tell you everything you need to know about subscribing to a podcast. And that is what we really want you to do, is get connected and subscribe so that you're part of our Ohana here, so that you can get the show automatically delivered to you via your mobile device when it comes out. Of course, I have a newsletter as well. You can sign up for the newsletter. It's on the website. Just got to scroll down a little further and click on the newsletter link. So that's how you get connected. Of course, all of you that are existing listeners of the show, thanks for being here. Thanks again for being part of the Ohana. I'm just glad you're here. And I'll be honest with you, the last show... And we'll talk about the last show in just a few minutes, but let me get through the formalities first. GeekNews@gmail.com is the email address. And really, that's the best way to stay connected with the podcast. And of course, if you have comments on today's show, you can just drop me a line on Twitter as well, at Geek News via our Slack channel. If you're not part of our Slack channel, just ask to join via email. You can follow me on Google Plus or Facebook. Of course, you can watch the show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast Channel or on the Apple TV. Listen on the Amazon Echo by telling them the Echo device to play the latest edition of Geek News Central. You can listen on Stitcher, watch, or listen to Blueberry.com or tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, and the Pro Gear Site being written by my team. At Geek News Central, of course, there is the podcast Legends Show and the new media show that is done as well on the website. So lots of stuff for you to stay connected with. Of course, this would all not be this. Well, this is all possible because of our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And we want you to take just a few minutes to visit GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Get connected up and pick up a domain name. Pick up a hosting account. We've got a deal. This really, you just can't beat this. $1 a month, economy hosting with a free domain for the first 12 months. So $12 gets you a hosting account and a domain. There's no other deal like it on the planet. $1 a month, manage WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain with that as well. Or 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. All those codes and all those deals for September are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to take advantage of that. Support the sponsor. Take us help me pay my rising water and my rising electricity bill again. I can't believe I'm saying that after putting 36 panels on my roof, but I've got, two college kids living here. My wife's charging her electric car. And my electric bill was $84 this month. It would have been about $500 But yeah, offsets. But this is, it's not, I'm supposed to have an $18 electric bill, not an $80 electric bill. So much to my chagrin, we're using more power here than we're generating on the roof. And in Hawaii, I can't just add panels. If I could, I'd throw 10 more on there and be done with it. But easier said than done here. So it is what it is. But anyway, that's mine to deal with. And I want to thank everyone for being here. Thanks for being part of the Geek News Central podcast. And thank you for supporting GoDaddy, my longtime sponsor of this show. Again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All right, straight up, first up today, last Thursday, I literally, and I haven't promised tonight, figuring out which camera I'm on. Last Thursday, I had had a workout in the afternoon, and it was really, I felt like I'd hit a wall, and my body was just saying, you're done, you're not feeling good. I came back in the house, did the show prep, did the show, was quite miserable all the way through the podcast. I struggled to get the last show out. And when I got done with the show, I processed the audio. I think I had some problems with video. It just, you know, perfect storm. I got the show published and I essentially just collapsed. I was done. I was literally stuck a fork in me. So there was no show notes on the last episode, and that was largely it. But after having been off Monday and gone the week before, you know, I really wanted to make sure that I put a show out for you, but I really should have just said, forget it and not done it. Just way, way too much stuff, going on here and not enough of me to go around. So that's kind of what happened, last Thursday. So for those of you that were, you knew the show ended up a little short. That was largely it. I punched out. And it's tonight. It's studio is hot again. The trade winds in Hawaii are like hit or miss. It's really weird right now. So when there's no trade winds, the temperature in the office just, when all the gears turned on, just continues to climb. And as soon as the show's over, I start shutting gear down immediately to cool it off in here. But if I run the fan, the overhead fan, too high, which you guys will be able to hear in just a second. If I turn it all the way up, then you guys can hear the fan in the background. So I have to run it at a lower speed. And then actually running any other type of fan in this room just doesn't work. So those of you who've been with me here for many, many years understand when the trade winds are out, it's even though I'm recording at 8 o'clock at night Hawaiian time, it's still miserable. And it has been hot. I mean, really hot here. That said, H2O in the office and trying to stay hydrated for you. But no excuses. The show must go on. Yes, I'm a crybaby. But after Thursday, I basically took 3 days off from the gym. I just didn't go Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And son had soccer on Saturday. We spent all afternoon in the sun, which was no fun. Because the coach went there at noon, but he didn't run to 5. We had a tent, but it was still 90. No trade winds. It was, miserable. And I had packed extra. I just kind of knew this is maybe what was going to happen. So I loaded up a new cooler that I was actually doing a review on. And I took another cooler of just nothing but water, ice down, and The coach brought quickly ran out, so they got dug into mine, which was fine. But by the end of the day on Saturday, we were all like stuck a fork in us, just come home. And so it's been kind of this way. I'm kind of sick of the heat. For those of you that are living where it's cooling off, I'm kind of envious right now. It's the endless summer here in Hawaii. Yes, I know, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. But anyway, my wife left for Japan Saturday. She's there in the Buddhist or Japanese religion. It's a semi-form of Buddhism. They have anniversary years. This is one of them for her mother. So she's home for the anniversary of her death, or her mother's death. So she'll be there a week. She gets back on Saturday. Then I leave on Saturday too. So I go to the East Coast. We'll be doing two shows. So we'll be on with the two shows next week as scheduled. So no misses there. So just to let you know that. But anyway, that's it. That's kind of my just my cray baby stuff here, and we'll get into the regular content. Yes, I am very green today, Mike. Yes, indeed I am. So I don't know why. It's, you know, you kind of get tired of I have like 20, you know, polo shirts, and it seems like I wore that one. And you just don't know what to wear. So I just kind of felt green today. So that's what I grabbed. So yes, I am very green on the video today. For those of you that are listening, no specific reason. Just my mood struck me as green when I pulled the shirt out at 7:45 tonight. Okay, have I missed anything? I don't think so. Thanks for being here, everybody. I do appreciate it. Did get some email back. Jack had some comments for me on Equifax. We'll be talking a little bit more about them, but I want to be clear. Well, let me save that discussion about Equifax to a little bit later. Today is the 16th anniversary of 9/11. And, you know, for those of us that we all knew where we were that day, it was a game changer for me for a multitude of reasons. You just never know when a fork changes in the road which way you're going to go, right? And ultimately, that was a key pivot point in doing some of the things I did while I was still active duty. But, you know, I think as the anniversaries start to step up, you know, I have my youngest son. He has no real recollection. Has obviously the only stuff he's heard as he was growing up, and we're talking a little bit about it in the car today on the way home from school, and he still can't grasp the enormity of it, and he never will be able to, because, you know, even my older kids, my 21 and 19 year old, they still weren't that old, and it wasn't. They remember the kind of the chaos around it. Remember Dad going, but you know, they really don't have this big imprint, you know. And I don't know what age you've had to be to have an imprint, but as time goes on, probably the same way with the folks that said, you know, talked about Pearl Harbor and the attack then, and how don't never forget. And what we say here with 9/11 is the same thing, as to never forget as well. And for many of us, we never will. And this country was changed in a big way, and we lost thousands of people that day, and thousands of families have been affected in a multitude of ways. So many stories that probably will never be able to told, the impacts of that day and those terrorists. So, you know, I was looking at and actually Kirk queued up the article today for me when he was doing the show prep. And it's image from space, from the International Space Station, going over the site after the towers had already collapsed. Let me see if it will come up. And of course, all you see in that image is the plume of smoke from the from Lower Manhattan and where that all occurred. So it is a it's a sad Remembrance Day, of course, but I don't think things will ever be quite the same. We're still dealing with fundamentalist and radicals, and I don't think that things will ever quite be the same from that point forward. But anyway, 16th anniversary of 9/11. And I hope each of you took a few moments today to think about that. And if you didn't, please do so. It's never too late to do so. But big things happened from from that event. And of course, this show was not even, you know, in existence at that point, of course. We were still 3 years away from launching the show at that point. Podcasting really wasn't even a word on November 11, 2001. But it sure was a game changer for at many, many levels. So I just want to talk about that quick today before we get into the content. And so lest we forget about the victims and the lives that have been changed from that and all the military guys that have lost their lives or been hurt from that extended conflict that continues to have our military members in harm's way. Irma, of course, is wrapping its way up into Georgia. It's a tropical storm now. I haven't even checked the news much this afternoon. But, you know, it's devastated the entire state of Florida. Either flooding, wind damage. The Keys have taken it really, really bad. And some parts of Key West, you know, some part of the Keys have not even been accessible yet. They've had some helicopters in, that type of thing. But the roads aren't completely open. But on the evacuation, when they were moving people from, you know, the east coast of Florida to the west coast and then, you know, telling people to get out, the Tesla owners, something interesting happened. Tesla unlocked, and basically, they found out that the cars had more range than what they normally would, because Tesla did a global unlock and basically remotely unlocked on its owners in Florida to basically give them the full potential of the 75 kilowatt battery that came with the Model S, Model X60, and the Model X60D cars. So what that means, the owners of those vehicles were able to travel further, thus allowing them to escape Hurricane Irma while stopping less to recharge. You know, Tesla used to offer customers the options to buy a 75 kilowatt battery pack that was software locked. This resulted in a car with a shorter range but a cheaper price tag, where they're also given the option to unlock the full potential for additional cost. And I think that was a big cost, like $20,000 or something, to unlock that additional range. But due to the emergency situation in Florida, they decided to unlock it for free, at least temporarily. Now, it kind of struck me funny. I understand why they did it. And if it helps someone get out of the danger area without a recharge, great. And if it allows someone to get home with power being down throughout the state, then, you know, good on Tesla for that as well. But to me, I fully don't understand this business model. You've put a 75 kW battery in the vehicle. You've got the same expense. Either they've upgraded or they haven't. The car still costs the same amount of money. But yet, you've range limited it via software. It's just, you know, I don't think I ever knew that. That car was range locked based upon the battery. And you wonder how many people have gotten in trouble. So, you know, I don't know what they limit it to, 50 kW? You know, what is the number that it normally is if you haven't paid the extortion fee to have the unlocked battery? How many people got in trouble because they didn't pay the extra money? It just seems such a weird, weird business model. And, you know, I guess on one hand, I applaud them for unlocking it. But at the same point, I also am like, why? Why did they do that? And I guess they figured people would be able to pay it later or something. I don't understand. I really, really don't. Now, I know that Tesla takes cars and trades them in and gives a credit when you get ready to trade vehicles. So maybe that's part of it too. Saves them money in changing the battery out when they're selling a used Tesla with an unlocked battery. I don't know. It's just a little bit odd to me. It really, really is. What do you think of Tesla doing this? Do you think it was cool? Do you think it's a weird business model? Those of you that own Teslas right now that listen to this show, let me know what you think, and were you affected? I'd love to hear from you. All right, we'll move on here. Facebook is testing instant videos that download over Wi-Fi. So this feature makes sure that you always have videos ready to watch and you won't have to waste your data plan downloading them. The feature is called Instant Videos and appears to download various Facebook videos while you're connected to Wi-Fi, that you'll be able to start playing them immediately on your phone when you're inside the app. So it appears to serve a few different purposes. For one, Facebook cares a ton about video right now, and it can potentially boost viewership and improve the viewing experience by having clips ready to go without any loading time. Downloading them on Wi-Fi also saves cell data and might encourage more viewing on mobile. It's also possible that, like instant articles, the quick-loading news stories that Facebook hosts for publishers, Facebook could be looking for stronger control over its video ecosystem and could grant publishers certain benefits for making those videos that fall within its guidelines. So you're really not streaming the videos anymore. You're playing them from a physical download. This is very, very interesting move by Facebook, which could very easily be transferred to audio content as well. So we'll keep an eye on this particular feature that they are introducing that's making the rounds in some of the recent updates, all right? All right, last show I spent a lot of time really going off on Equifax. And just so those of you, and Jack, I think you may have been a little bit confused, but I pay for credit monitoring and access to credit reports more often through, and it's basically I go to Equifax.com, I log into the website, and I have access to my entire profile on demand. I understand that they're a credit reporting agency, and those may be separate. But when I log in and I can see everything that's going on with my credit stack, I can see who's applied. I can see what credit checks have been done against me. I can see what accounts have been opened. I can see my payment history, really all this information that I already know, but I'm cross-checking to make sure that nothing obscure showing up. There's all of a sudden some weird account having been opened. LifeLock kind of protects me on the same aspect as well. It's a kind of a double whammy. So in essence, I do pay Equifax a fee for that service. And I can't, it's like $100 a year, something to that effect. I can't remember how much the last bill was. Let's see if I can actually find the invoice. Let me Google this. Equifax invoice. Yeah, there's so far there's nothing. Well, anyway, I pay that, you know, every year. So this is what irritates me even more about this. I pay for this service, and then probably because I paid and have this extra login information and have these additional credit reports, it's probably all been compromise. But a lot of people are thinking about putting in credit freezes on their credit. You know, there's good things and bad things about credit freezes. If you decide on a whim to open a credit account somewhere, you have to make a bunch of calls to have a bunch of stuff opened up. It's not easy. You know, LifeLock definitely lets me know when someone has applied, but usually that is a delay of 1 to 2 days before LifeLock pings me and says, hey, something is, you know, there's been a new account opened up. 1 to 2 days might be too long in this instance where they've already opened up and done some damage against your credit. So putting in a credit freeze might be an option. And again, a freeze restricts access to your credit report. Make it impossible for a thief to take out lines of credit in your name unless they hack your PIN that you make available to each of these services. Now, when you put a freeze on your report at a credit bureau, that bureau won't release your report when a company requests to pull it. So let's say a thief steals your Social Security number, applies for a line of credit with Chase Bank. If you've frozen your report, Chase will try to pull your report only to find it frozen. Thus, a thief can't open a new account. In fact, even outside this whole Equifax fiasco, some folks, if you're not thinking about opening any lines of credit, people do this from time to time to basically add an additional security measure here. But a freeze isn't foolproof. So when you put a freeze on your report, you get a PIN that you'll use whenever you're ready to thaw your freeze. This PIN allows you to freeze and unfreeze your report at your discretion. A security freeze doesn't protect you if the thieves break into the vault of the company that maintains the freeze. And that's what's happened here. And now we'll spend years seeing what happens next. Equifax system for generating random PINs was easily guessable. Verified PIN format, and basically it's the same format for every person. The PINs are 10 digits long. If Equifax chose numeric PINs at random, the crooks would have a 1 in 10 billion chance of getting the right number. But now, it's very much easier to figure that out. Now, if you want to freeze your reports, you got to call Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. There's numbers to call that. But again, if you're in the process of applying for a loan, make sure you find out what you're going to do. Now, fraud alerts are a different thing you can set. You know, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on here. So just be aware of the ramifications of doing a credit freeze. Mysteriously, the Equifax app has disappeared from the Apple's App Store and Google Play. Now this app, apparently was, I don't know if Apple pulled it down or if Equifax pulled it down. And then this verification site they set up, and if you sign up for their basically credit monitoring, you could be waiving your right to sue Equifax. The lawsuits are piling up. More than 30 lawsuits so far have been filed in the United States. At least 25 been filed in federal courts by last Sunday, and it includes at least once accusing company of securities fraud. And then to top this off, there's a cool thing that's been... Oh, well, U.S. senators are demanding answers of the Equifax hacking. They've asked them to respond with detailed questions about the breach. Senator Orrin Hatch, who chairs the Finance Committee and ranking Democrat Ron Wyden, also demanded the Equifax chief executive Rick Smith provide a timeline of the breach and its discovery. They asked for information on when authorities and the company's board were notified and when three executives sold stock in the company. In August, we're first told of the data breach. So they're asking for a lot of information. They want to know what the company's done because the company's response so far has been horrible. Now, if you want to add to Equifax misery, there's a new bot. It's called Chatbot. It lets you sue Equifax for up to $25,000 without a lawyer. You, with a very simply going to this bot, with launched in 50 states, you can, and this bot was mainly known for helping people with parking tickets, but with this new update, its creator, Joshua Browder, who was one of the 143 million affected, basically allows you to file a small claims court proceeding against the, against Equifax. So it's beautiful. You put your name, your address, your telephone number, and it by your zip code, it produces the forms that you need to file for a small claims court claim against Equifax. Now, you may still have to have the papers served to Equifax, and you may have to file them at your local courthouse, but they're all printed out for you and ready to go. So if about 100,000 or a million of us go on to this chatbot and pay for servicing, you can usually get lawsuit papers served for about $100. You can serve Equifax with their lawsuit and basically sue them in small claims court in your jurisdiction. So this is very, you could get anywhere from $15,000 to $25,000. Some states it's a little more difficult, but Equifax will have no choice but to respond to that small claims court. But you're going to have to go to small claims court and go after them for damages. So anyway, very, very cool what this chatbot has. Is it going to make a difference? I don't know. But if enough people use it and basically take the paperwork it creates for you and files it, we could really make an impact against Equifax and what I feel is their negligence. Now, Equifax has said they're going to backtrack on the arbitrate, don't litigate plan for punters. You know, Equifax has decided it will no longer try and impose arbitration on any of the million Americans who try to find out they've been stung by its massive data leak. Following the mega leak, the company posted a website meant to let worried people sign up for credit file monitoring if they agree to arbitration and waive their right to sue. Now, this was on the Equifax Security2017.com website, which someone has already said has already been hacked. So, they basically are removing the forced arbitration. The site now generates random PIMs for using sign-in for the premium product. The call center handling inquiries has been expanded. Equifax assures customers they won't be automatically rolled in the premium monitoring product, and it's not requesting consumer credit card information when they sign up. But anyway, it's still a mess over there, and I'm just kind of waiting to see if I get a letter from Equifax saying that I was actually hacked before I do anything. But it is, I was talking to a lot of people about it. People are asking me lots of questions about the Equifax hack and what it means. And for my friends that are in the military who were involved in the OPM hack, they had their security clearance questionnaires hacked. This is just, it just makes it, it's just another level of, oh my God. Craziness. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes and we'll go from there. All right, next thing up. You know, I've been wearing some Nike Airs. I think they're Air. They're really breathy. I love them. They're a running shoe, but they've got a lot of, basically it's got a mesh and your foot doesn't sweat so much in it. And I typically have feet that sweat a lot anyway, which is disgusting. But Nike has made a website it's not a website. They've got this new experience. It's called the Maker Experience. And it's an invitational limited time event where people can design a pair of shoes and have them made in less than an hour. And the folks over at Engadget got to check it out. And they were able to go to the Buy Your Studio in New York City, which is a space created to take you through the process of making your own custom shoe from start to finish. That meant being able to choose from a set of four different graphic packs, including the camouflage pattern pictured in the article that I'm going to share with you. And you basically got to select the colors you want on the sneakers, the midsole, and then basically, you get a custom designed shoe, and I don't fully understand the process, how they print that and how they get the shoes ready. It doesn't matter, but it's awesome that you could have your own design done. And they say the entire process is fairly simple. You walk into the buyer's studio and put on a pair of Prestos that acts as a white canvas, and you step into a contraption. It projects light onto the upper part of the shoe and lets you see how your design looks in real time. And Nike says it's worked with this technology with WK Lodge, a firm that experiments with artificial intelligence. And the Nike associate will ask you what color you want the shoes to be or which pattern you prefer. And that information is transmitted to the light projector. And so naturally, one of the most interesting parts of the maker experience is that Nike can make you a custom shoe in less than an hour. In our case, it actually took 46 minutes. Was apparently the fastest time so far. That's pretty mind-blowing when you think about the fact when you order a shoe through Nike D, the customization service the company launched in 1999, it takes 68 weeks to receive it. This is awesome. When asked how Nike could manufacture a sneaker in such a timely manner, they said the only thing they could reveal about the secret sauce is that it isn't a fully automated process. That means there are humans gluing and stitching the shoe together, and we contested this since we met the ones who created our design. Smith adds that though, while the maker's experience is an experiment, the goal is to bring similar experience to Nike retail stores eventually. What's more, it won't be just the Presto you'll have access to, but other low and high top Nike models as well. The price is still being determined, although Nike tends to add about $20 premium to its Nike D sneakers. It's only open to a select few, but can you imagine being able to go in and design your own shoes? I'd pay a premium for that, to be able to go in and make my own custom sneakers, put the design on it. I'd be like, that would be awesome. And, you know, I don't know if I've talked about this on the show before, but I'm a firm believer in buying really good shoes. So I know many of you have never bought an expensive set of maybe Italian leather, custom hand-stitched shoes. But let me tell you something. There's no other experience like it in the world. And when you buy a pair of custom-made shoes that are made for your foot, that are stitched for you and in the leather and in the texture that you want, it's a shoe that will literally almost last a lifetime. Now, you pay a considerable amount more money for that type of a shoe, all right? So if you buy a premium shoe today at a premium shoe store, you could pay $300 to $500 for a pair of leathers. But if you want a custom shoe, one that's made for your foot, that you go in and get measured and you pick the style out and everything, you might wait 4 to 6 weeks or 8 weeks for the shoe to be delivered, but you're talking at probably $1,000 to do that. But let me tell you, the shoes last for 20 years. And if you need to have them repaired, you send them back and you have them repaired. So I'm huge. Now, I've bought stuff off the rack. I went to, you know, to Macy's or JCPenney's or, you know, Nordstrom's or a place like that and bought shoes off the rack. But I have a couple of pairs of custom-made leather shoes that when I put my feet into them, my feet go, it is an experience like no other. Now, it's crazy amount of money, I know, okay? But again, these are shoes that you will wear a lifetime. You wear the soles out, you send them in, they rework the leather, they put new soles on, they send them back to you. It's just like brand new. This is what you get with custom leathers. And I'm a big, big fan. And over the years, I've had a couple of made. But when it comes to tennis shoes, which I find myself wearing a lot now, to be able to, and I'm real picky about finding the right size and the right style. Comfort is number one, no matter what. But to be able to style that tennis shoe would be awesome. So, yes, I know, this is a tech show, but I'm just telling you, this is, go get a, if you treat yourself once in a lifetime to a pair of custom leather-made shoes, and usually have to go to a relatively big city, because you don't find shoemakers in small towns. Maybe you get lucky and you have one still. But if you find the right person with a good reputation, a good store, you'll have to make an appointment and do it several months in advance to get and see someone. And all I can say is, oh my God, your feet will love you. So this thing Nike is doing has got me like, yes, cannot wait. And I'm not a fashion diva. All right, back to the tech. For superpowers, artificial intelligence fuels a new arms race. For many Russian students, the academic year started last Friday with the tips on planetary domination for President Vladimir Putin. He says artificial intelligence is the future, not only for Russia, but for all humankind, he said via live video beam to the 16,000 selected schools. Whoever becomes a leader in this sphere will become the ruler of the world. He says whoever leads in artificial intelligence will become the leader and rulers of the world. Now, how many of you have read science fiction stories where AI takes a prominent lead in leading countries into their success? I've read many a science fiction book where artificial intelligence was key, not only to decision making, but also into advancing the agenda of the country that had it. So Putin's advice is the latest sign of intensifying race among Russia, China, and the United States to accumulate military power based on artificial intelligence. It's not only military power, it goes beyond that. All three countries have proclaimed intelligent machines as vital to the future of their national security. Technologies such as software that can sift intel materials or autonomous drones and ground vehicles are seen as ways to magnify the power of human soldiers. The U.S., Russia, and China are all in agreement that artificial intelligence will be the key technology underpinning national power in the future. Whoa, 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 whoa. China released a detailed strategy designed to make the country the front runner in global innovation center in AI by 2030. Now, while our AI efforts may not be completely focused on military-related, you can absolutely be guaranteed that China and Russia are. Now, the U.S., widely recognized as the home to the most advanced and vibrant AI development, doesn't have a prescriptive roadmap like China's. But several years, the Pentagon has been developing a strategy known as the Third Offset, intended to give the U.S. through weapons powered by smart software the same sort of advantage over potential adversaries that it once held in nuclear weapons and precision-guided weapons. In April, the Department of Defense established a logarithmic warfare cross-functional team to improve the use of AI technology such as machine vision across the Pentagon. Ho-ho, so interesting. Kind of contradicts what I just said. But anyway, AI is going to be big and important. So we'll see where it leads if it doesn't take over the world first, right? More mundane things going on right now. Microsoft is fixing Windows 10 stuttering bug in Creators Update. So Microsoft says it's working to address the bug that it caused some Windows 10 application experience momentary stuttering. I have a laptop with Windows 10 on it that's doing that. It all of a sudden just... It doesn't stutter, it freezes. And you sit there and you click, 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 nothing happens. And then in 60 seconds, it's back to normal. It's the most bizarre thing in the world. So, tomorrow's a big day. iPhone X is going to be announced. So with that, there's going to be an upgrade program where customers can now trade in their phones through the mail. But I'm also hearing there's going to be mass shortages of the iPhone X. So just be aware here that if you're looking to upgrade, if you're not one of the first people to order, you may wait a while. Rumors coming out of the factories in China says they're only producing 10,000 phones a day. And if that's truly the case, it's going to be months before some people get their phones. Apple is apparently working with Stanford and a company called American Well to test whether its watches can detect heart problems. So this is cool. If they can have an Apple Watch detect cardiac abnormalities, that could keep people like me alive, that if all of a sudden there's some sort of arrhythmia or something going on, some sort of V-fib or something that's happening, or some sort of action that may be indicative of a heart attack. And it basically says, hey, dude, you got something cooking here that's not good. You need to go to an emergency room immediately. If we can have devices that will preempt us for something that, you know, obviously good health, exercise, and keeping your blood pressure down, and if you're on meds, taking your right meds, and all that stuff is important. But, you know, there's nursing homes are full of women, because all of us guys die. And, you know, before we get to that point. So we'll see if they can expand the sensor capabilities of the Apple Watch. All right, so again, the word from KGA Securities analyst Ming-Chi Chu, who has a fairly good track record of forecasting Apple products availability, says due to component constraints, the estimate current production of OLED iPhones are less than 10K units per day, which means the model remain in severe shortage supply for a while. Furthermore, we estimate that the gold version of the OLED iPhone will encounter some production problems and will initially be available only in extreme low volume. There's an even chance that the gold version will go on sale at a later date than the other versions. However, he believes that those shipment delays will have a limited impact on the shares in Apple and its supply chain members. So we will see where this goes. But 10,000 units per day would limit to 1 million units per quarter, which, you know, Apple sold 41 million iPhones in the last quarter. So this is not a good number. Now, maybe this is on their most advanced phones. I don't know, but time will tell what the real deal is here. All right. Oh, Malik, I haven't seen an article from Ohm in a long time. We used to talk about him a lot. He's a partner at True Ventures, a venture capital firm, and he's the founder of GigaOhm. And he's got an article, Are Top U.S. Startups Really Startups? PitchBook Data Research Company has come up with a list of the top 14 most valuable startups in the United States. There are real no surprises in this list. Though ranked by valuation, they are all valued north of $4 billion. They are all household names bearing one that I've never heard of. And they've been around forever. So are they really startups? And instead call them VC-backed private companies? I think that's a good idea. But here's the top 14. Uber, Airbnb, WeWork, SpaceX, Palantir, Pinterest, SomuMed, Dropbox, Stripe, Lyft. Dropbox is, wow, that high? Stripe, Lyft, Outcome Health, Moderna, Magic Leap, and SoFi. There's a bunch there. I don't even know what they do. Holy cow. So, anyway, link will be up in the show notes. This has got to be the stupidest thing. This next article, oh my God. I haven't followed this. I'm just reading about this today, and I'm just like, you're kidding me, right? Do you think a monkey should have copyright to its own image? Monkey selfie copyright battle ends with a settlement. The battle over who owns the rights to a monkey selfies has raged for years, but it's coming to a quiet end. Camera owner David Slater, PETA, and Blurb have reached a settlement in the case before a federal appeals court. Before a federal court could rule whether or not Slater or PETA, on behalf of the monkey, a crested macaque named Naruto, own the photos. The truce doesn't appear to alter Slater's original court victory, but it will have him donating 25% of future revenue from selfies, monkey selfies, to charities to protect the habitats of Naruto and his species. In a statement, Slater and PETA said that the case raised cutting-edge issues about the rights of non-human animals and that they boasted to the board the idea of expanding animal rights. You have got to be kidding me. Expanding animal rights? For all intent purposes, Slater got the upper hand, even as the fight over photos erupted in earnest. The U.S. Copyright Office was drafting practices that granted ownership rights exclusively to humans. PETA was bound to face an uphill battle. However, it does serve as a reminder that ownership isn't always determined, especially in an era where artists, robots, can produce works without human intervention. giving copyright rights to a monkey? Some people have literally lost their minds. Galaxy Note 8 pre-orders are setting records in the United States. It's safe to say Samsung's not only managed to redeem themselves, but it looks like they've also have another winning flagship smartphone. Reports say and indicate that Samsung might have sold close to 400,000 units on its first day. And it looks like they could be breaking more records. A report from the Courier Herald has revealed that Sony has apparently broke some records in the U.S. as far as pre-orders for Note 8 are concerned. It seems that in the entire Galaxy Note series of smartphones, the Note 8 is the company's most reserved smartphone to date. Unfortunately, Samsung is not providing official figures, but they think that it's busting all kinds of records, which is not good if Apple is going to be behind. I know some folks, longtime Apple users, have switched to the Galaxy Note 8. In the near future, your pizza, Big Mac, and groceries could all be delivered autonomously via drone. But the good folks in California have decided that their newly legalized pot dispensaries, they don't feel that delivering pot via a drone is a good idea. The California Bureau of Cannabis Control recently declared that weed deliveries cannot be made by autonomous vehicles. That includes UAVs and unmanned self-driving cars. Therefore, don't go expecting the robot delivering your munchies to bring you Scooby snacks too. Transportation may not be done by aircraft, watercraft, rail, drones, human-powered vehicles, or unmanned vehicles, according to the Bureau's business licensing regulation. It adds, deliveries may be made only in person by enclosed motor vehicle. Cannabis goods may not be visible to the public during deliveries. Cannabis goods may not be left in an unattended motor vehicle unless that vehicle has an active alarm system. Vehicles used for this delivery must have a dedicated active GPS device that enables the dispenser to identify the geographic location of the vehicle during delivery. Well, if the legal dispensaries aren't delivering pot by drone, you can almost be guaranteed the dealers who deliver illegal pot will be delivering it by drone. Some of you went to saw It. Was it good? I've heard mixed reviews. If you want to get a sample of some of Stephen King's movies to stream, they're available on Amazon and Netflix. I have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out. Did you see It? Also, again, the new iPhone is going to be called the iPhone X. And it should not be a surprise here. A leak today kind of gave that away, all right? The Apple TV 4K will have as much power as the iPad Pro. Whoa. Should be able to play 4K at 60 frames per second. So Apple just can't seem to keep the leaks from outing all its new hardware. After a few new iPhone details dropped over the weekend, we're hearing about the Apple TV 4K. The next version of streaming video box will be powered by 3-core A10X Fusion CPU. Same chip at the heart of the recent iPad Pros, as well as 3 gigs of RAM, according to developer Steve Smith. The details come from a leaked version of the iOS 11 GM release, which makes it fairly trustworthy. Don't know what it's going to cost, but going to be pretty awesome. Be able to do 4K via an Apple TV. What else? The government seized a domain last year. The admin for a prolific file sharing site that helped pirates score more than 1 billion tracks of music now faces a 5 years in prison after pleading guilty in a single count of criminal copyright infringement. Arthur Sargsyan, the 29-year-old owner and operator of ShareBeast, is to be sentenced in Atlanta federal court in December for operating what the Recording Industry Association of America said was the most prolific U.S.-based file sharing site. The defendant also forfeited $185,000 in ill-gotten gains, the government said. Authorities in 2015 seized the ShareBeast domain and a few others connected to the site, which regularly allowed users to score pre-release music. He was charged last month. So, anyway, music sharing, they continue to go after it. Google is offering free repairs to Pixel owners affected by Hurricane Harvey. So if you've had a Pixel phone that has gotten wet or broke, some sort of water damage, I'm sure they're going to be able to get it fixed. And the free Pixel repairs will be available in the following You Break I Fix stores in Houston. And there's a link in here. So if any of you are in the Houston area and you have a Pixel that got damaged, Google's offering up free repairs for it. Good for you. In an article that I don't, in a topic I don't cover very often, but something that we should be aware of, hundreds of hospitals with violations, deaths, have also gotten gold seals of approval. Shoddy healthcare practices at Cooley Dickinson Hospital in Northampton, Massachusetts, led to the preventable deaths of two babies and a pregnant woman between 2013 and 14. That's according to federal regulators who threatened to cut the hospital's federal funding over its poor performance. Yet, most of the hospital's patients had no idea of the dangerous state of affairs at the time. The hospital maintained its accreditation throughout the three tragedies, and according to an investigation by the Wall Street Journal, was even called a top performer by its accreditor, the Joint Commission. The situation at Cooley Dickinson is not unique. Patients nationwide are being potentially misled about the quality of their care. According to data collected by the journal, hundreds of hospitals with federal safety violations continue to boast accreditation and a gold seal of approval from the Joint Commission, a nonprofit that the government relies on to accredit almost 80% of U.S. hospitals. Hospitals can use state inspections to prove that they're in compliance with federal safety standards and eligible to receive money from federal health programs, but many rely on accreditations and programs from private organizations such as the Joint Commission, whether it's the largest of the private accreditors. Some states have even allowed private accreditors to take over much of their role inspecting hospitals. So basically, you just pay this, in my opinion, you pay the Joint Commission to come in and inspect. They say, oh, you look good. Let me give you this gold seal here to be a gold seal hospital, have the gold seal of approval. So do your homework, folks, when you're getting ready to do business and be served by a hospital that you may not be aware of, okay? I blew it. I absolutely blew it. Y'all didn't remind me. My reminder somehow did not tag me. The Nintendo Super NES Classic production has been dramatically increased because the unit is already selling out. Early pre-orders of the Super NES Classic Edition are selling out at record speed, and fears that limited supplies are already driving up eBay prices for the upcoming plug-and-play system. Nintendo might have a repeat of the retail fiasco surrounding the hard-to-find NES Classic Edition. Nintendo of America President Reggie Fils tried to downplay such concerns this week when he told Financial Times the company has dramatically increased production of the Super NES Classic to try to satisfy demand. Nintendo figured 2.3 million NES Classics wasn't enough. So they're going to make significantly more Super NES Classic Editions than they did the NES Classic Edition. Now, if that's the case, why were initial pre-orders so hard to come by? He told Financial Times that the instant sellouts were due to unspecified retailer issues outside our control rather than an overarching supply issue. He would strongly urge you not to overbid on Super NES Classics on any auction site. You shouldn't have to pay more than $79.99. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And so, in other words, I blew it. I didn't order it on first day. So keep your eye out for the Super NES. And if you don't hear from me in the meantime, if you score one, score two, I'm good for one from you. Now, if 10 of you get it, I'm going to be screwed. We'll have to resell them. But email me if you're about ready to order one, you found one available, and order two, okay? And I'm good for the 80. All right. So there is going to be some more supplies available, but this was as of August 22nd, and they're still out of stock in many places. I looked around today. Okay, getting down here to the end, and where are we at on time? We're okay. Comcast has sued Vermont, insists that having to expand broadband violates its First Amendment rights. So Comcast just like AT&T and all these other companies, they do not want to expand into rural America. They don't want to upgrade lagging DSL. They don't want to bring high speed to the masses. They don't want to have to extend their lines into low density population areas. They don't want to do that. Comcast had a permit with the state requiring it to not only retain public access programming state, but to expand no less than 550 miles of additional cable into underserved Vermont communities over 11 years. And they said, oh, we signed, we agreed to that, but now we're suing you because you're violating our First Amendment rights. What a bunch of crock. These broadband companies, please, please, Ohana, please. You need to tell your local public utilities commissions and your state utility commissions that they need to stop allowing these folks to have a monopoly on these markets and demand that they expand into rural America. It's just, they play so dirty, you know, but they got the money to do it. That's what's all, it's just, jeez. All right, let me show you some, for those of you watching tonight or even later, and those of you that are listening, you're going to want to come to this link in the show notes. Hurricane Irma wiped out so many plants, yes, plants, that these Caribbean islands have changed color. So if you look at a satellite picture of August 25th, the St. Thomas, St. John, Tortola, and Virgin Gorda, and look at them now, there's not a green thing to be seen. It's been like they've been wiped clean. And I've been in areas before where this kind of activity's happened and it takes forever to recover. But just look at this image, and if nothing else, you should go, wow. It's been stripped bare. The fury of Mother Nature is amazing. It really, really is. Tesla's planning to add more superchargers in big cities. They realize the lack of convenient charging stations could be a barrier to adoption. You think? So if you own a Tesla and plan on driving at a reasonable distance, then you probably know exactly where near superchargers are. After all, these devices charge your car in less than an hour. But if you look at a map of an urban area, let's say Philly, which is about 20 minutes from where I live, you notice something frustrating. The city, along with many other urban areas, is somewhat of a supercharging desert. Tesla acknowledges that this is a problem expanding the supercharger network into urban areas, starting with Chicago and Boston. So, they basically, with the release of the Model 3, you know, more people are going to be owning these things. There's got to be more chargers. The hotel I stayed at in Florida didn't have superchargers, but had high-speed chargers. You charge a car in about 3 hours. So, but the superchargers do it in 45 to 50 minutes. The local Nissan dealer here has one supercharger for the dealership, one. And there's always like five cars waiting. They're on the other chargers, and then people rotate down. But with that supercharger, 30 minutes, you get a 90% charge. Google appeals a $2.4 billion EU antitrust fine. And Google's appeal the decision is not requested, the court suspend it in the meantime. And it appears the company will continue to work towards fulfilling the changes ordered by June. So they do have an appeal. It probably won't go anywhere, no in Europe. There is going to be two new Amazon Fire TV models being released in 2017. And apparently both of them capable of doing 4K. It's going to be the Amazon Fire TV 2nd Gen AFTS and Amazon Fire TV 1st. Oh, and the Amazon AFTN. So two different ones. So a couple of devices being released that look like they're going to do 4K. Link will be up in the show notes on that. Facebook has been fined in Spain for allegedly misusing personal data. The social network is apparently tracking non-users' web habits as well. Surprise, surprise, surprise. It tells you that for users, they're definitely tracking you, right? Volkswagen wants 300 EV models by 2030. 300? They have 300 different types of cars? VW set a goal of 80 new electric vehicles across all its brands by 2025. And they aspired to put out 30 EVs. Further, the company wants to offer an electric version of each of its existing 300 models. I didn't realize they had 300 models of vehicles. So they got to do something. They've had to pay big on this diesel thing, right? Google's going to kill Symantec's SSL certificates in Chrome 66 due out in early 2018. Google's detailed out plans to depreciate Symantec issued certificates. This is an end of life. Its trust with Symantec certificates was the outcome of a long tussle over dodgy certificates, which came to a head when search for example.com and various permutations of test.com escaped into the wild. So this is not good. Not good. This ends Symantec's essential SSL business. Cassini probe has spotted some weird waves in Saturn's rings. Wait till you see these things. It's amazing. Mother Nature is just an amazing animal. And I don't know if you call this is really not Mother Nature, but it's space and science. And look at this. Look at these permeations in the rings. Weird. As if they almost had like a frequency to them. Very, very, very cool. Picture captured in June. Of course, the link will be in the show notes tonight. Final couple of things tonight. 44% off Anchor Soundbuds, Bluetooth, and Sweet Proof Sports Headphones. So there's a deal there. I'm a big fan of Anchor stuff. I love their batteries. And then also over on Android Central, you can get a Moto E for Verizon only for $40, kind of a little throwaway phone. So link will be up in the show notes on that. All right, I had a comment came in from Jack. He says to me, first of all, I got one from Dino. He says, hey, Todd, I guess no one else has mentioned it. I know you don't listen to your own recordings on show 1223 and some other road shows. You can definitely hear the microphone rattling, rubbling throughout the entire show. Just listen a few seconds of 12223 and you hear what I'm talking about. Yeah, I know that. I'm just trying to figure out what to do there, Dino, and I'm glad you're now dry in Houston. Did your house get flooded? How bad was it? Let us know. And if anybody else is out there that had some actions in Houston where you had some damage, let us know. We'd love to try to raise some money for you, okay? All right, let me go back and read Jack's comment on Equifax. Todd, I hate to hear you waste a great 20-minute rant. Your relationship with Equifax is not as a customer. Oh, it is. You may have purchased some services from them, but your data is not part of the service you purchased. No. In fact, most people that Equifax had data on did not purchase any service from them and had never given them any money. That's true. I know that. They were holding the credit reports. Their customers are banks, credit card, and lending institutions paid them for access to our data. You and I and all people whose data was taken from their insecure servers are the product, not the customer. Now, just so you're clear, Jack, they had credit card data released as well, which makes me think because all my credit cards are in file on this service I pay them for, maybe that was a segment of data that was lost. I don't know. But you and I, all people know that whose data was taken from their insecure securities are their product, not customers. So we as a product have no say in how our personal data they have on us is managed, saved, or dispensed. If you doubt this, just try to get them to change or delete any data they have on you. Good luck with that. That's true. The only people that can affect any change on Equifax behaviors are elected representatives and senators. Start writing letters. I agree. Start writing letters. Vote with your dollars. Sue them. Do whatever you want. Let's make it painful, Equifax, and make sure they understand that this is just not acceptable. Of course, they've had some, I learned they had some issues before too. So it's aggravating. It really, really is. But okay, let me get out of here. We're just about perfect on time, right? So thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for staying subscribed. If you have comments on today's show, it's real simple. You just open up Gmail, you click compose, and you put this address in geeknews@gmail.com, write a subject line and drop me an email. Say hello. Tell me you were listening from. Tell me what you liked, what you hated, what you feel about, what you want me to cover more, where I got something wrong, where I got it right. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from the Ohana. And emails have slowed down a lot as of recent. I know part of that is me not being 100% on the dime on getting my shows out, especially when I'm traveling and stuff. But at this point in the venture, folks, I have to take time out from time to time to keep my sanity, to be able to keep this going so we can make it to 20 years. So I appreciate everyone's acceptance of that. And I don't know if it's acceptable, but I guess I'm forcing it on you, right? But let me know what you feel, and I want to hear from you. So thanks for being here. Those of you watching on the live stream tonight, thanks for being here as well. We'll see you on Thursday. All right, everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.